And in the moment of weakness, right, what Esau does is he sells his birthright. You know, a little bit of description of the birthright. A birthright, by definition, a particular right of possession or privilege one has from birth, especially as the eldest or the firstborn child. Specifically here in context, it says that Jacob offered to give Esau a bowl of stew in exchange for his birthright in order to be recognized as the firstborn. Therefore, the blessing and the inheritance that should go to Esau is now going to go to Jacob, because in selling that birthright, Jacob now has possession of that right, the right to be recognized as the firstborn. The birthright, or the bakorah, as it's said, has to do with both position and inheritance. By birthright, the firstborn son inherited the leadership of the family and the judicial authority of his father. You know, Esau, in a moment of giving into the flesh, because in his flesh he was so hungry, he gives up the birthright. Right? He gives up, he sacrifices the blessing and the inheritance because he was hungry for food. Right? Because his stomach needed something from a worldly point of view. Look in Hebrews. Flip over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. The author of Hebrews uses how many ever thousands of years later this may be when the book of Hebrews is written. The author, in addressing the disciples, the listeners of whom this letter was written to, when they would hear this, the author brings Esau and this idea of the birthright and sacrificing the birthright back to the forefront of their mind to make, and they would have heard this, right? Especially Jews, the religious growing up, having heard the stories, they would have heard the story of Esau and Jacob. They would have understood what was going on, and he uses that passage. He uses that example of something that happened a long time before to drill in a point that would have been so crucial and important for those early Christians to understand. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16, the first part doesn't have, you know, anything really to do with what we're talking about, but it says, you know, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy, or in the NIV as it would say, ungodly or godless, like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. You know, verse 16, it says in the ESV, unholy. Or in the version that you may be reading out of, it says godless. That Esau was godless because... And as a result of him selling his birthright. And the reason why it spoke of Esau in that way, that he was godless, that he was unholy, because there would have been an understanding of that blessing, the inheritance, and that it was something that came from God, right? From the Father. As it was recited over and over again, as our Heavenly Father blessed Abraham and then Isaac and Jacob, and as the story progressed, like the inheritance and the blessing was given by the Father to the firstborn, to he who had the birthright, but the blessings came from God. There was so little appreciation or a devaluing of that birthright, of the blessing, in order to feed the stomach. You know, Philippians chapter, hold your place here and flip over to Philippians chapter 3. In verse 19, it says that their end is destruction. Their God is their belly or their stomach, and the glory in their shame, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. right? The blessings from God to Abraham and to Isaac, right? What was so disappointing, right, about Esau and what he did is that he didn't value the things of God. He didn't value the spiritual blessing and the inheritance that he was going to receive because his God was his stomach, literally. Like the glory was in his flesh, right? He was more consumed with filling the flesh and the fleshly desires than he was concerned about whatever sacrifice would come in order to value so much more, so much greater the things that God had in store, right? The inheritance that would come, and he would have to wait. You know, we see it was some time later before Jacob actually received the blessing, right? But that Esau just missed it, right? Because he was so consumed with the world, right? He was so consumed with the flesh, with what his stomach desired, that he couldn't see and therefore he didn't value what was in store for him. He was in the moment. And being in the moment, he gave in to the flesh. He gave in to his emotions. He gave in to his feelings, what he wanted right now. You know, back in Hebrews there, in verse 17, it says, "For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected." You know, when Esau realizes that the blessing had been given to Jacob, he comes in wailing, "Bless me too, bless me too, bless me too," right? He wanted the blessing too, and it says, but he was rejected. It says that he found, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it through many tears. He had a worldly sorrow. He didn't have godly sorrow, which leads to repentance. He clearly, there wasn't a repentance. I don't know if it was a month or how many ever years between selling the birthright and the blessing story. He could have tried to. He could have made an attempt to make it right. And we find nothing in Scripture that he gave to the flesh. He desired in the moment what he wanted, and he missed out on the ability. The blessings were given to the firstborn, which is he who holds the birthright. That was now Jacob. He gave it up. He sacrificed the blessings, the inheritance that he would receive because of a little bit of food. What's important about Hebrews? Why skip so far ahead in the story in the Bible? Because I think it's important, right? These early Christians, like it's important for you and I to read and understand this, is that it would have been very easy for these early Christians to be tempted to give in to the flesh, in a moment of weakness. It could have been for them persecution, because that was a big thing that they had to deal with, and to avoid the persecution and to avoid the hardship and to endure having to go through those things, it would have been easy to sacrifice their birthright that we'll talk about in a minute, but to sacrifice, to give up, to not value the blessing that they had to look forward to because they were afraid of the persecution. Or maybe it was temptation, right? That there was something of the flesh, a fleshly desire. I don't know, maybe that's why it was in there right before that of the birthright, in terms of talking about sexual immorality. Whether it's sins of the flesh, the immorality, impurity, it could be the pride and selfishness, drunkenness, whatever the case may be, like they, like you and I, face the opportunities, right, where we're tempted. And we have an opportunity to either give in to the flesh and what the flesh desires, That's Paul writes in Romans chapter 7, he talks about this battle back and forth between what the flesh desires. This is what, in my sinful nature, this is what I want. And I want to feed this because that's what it feels good. But then on the other side, I have this spirit living inside of me. And I know I want to feed that too. And he's like, on the one side, what I don't want to do, that's what I do. But what I do want to do, I don't do that. And there's this battle. And he's addressing the readers. He's like, don't give up your birthright. Don't sacrifice the blessing for a bowl of stew. Because that's what sin is. Sin is a bowl of stew. It feels good. It quenches something momentarily. But you will always get hungry again. That's why Jesus said, I'm the living water. He's talking to the lady, hey, you guys keep coming to this well again and again, and you keep coming back again and again because you're thirsty again and again. What I have for you, you will never thirst again. Sin is a bowl of stew. It's a cup of water out of a well. You will always be thirsty again. You will always become hungry again. Why in the world would we sell out our birthright? What belongs to us? And I'm excited to read a few scriptures closing out in just a minute before we take communion about what that birthright is and what it looks like. But he's addressing because he knew that they would be facing times and seasons of hunger, where the flesh was going to be real. I haven't eaten at all today. My stomach is rumbling. It's telling me, you're hungry. Feed me. And our flesh, our nature, our sinful nature grumbles at us sometimes and says, feed me. And we need to value. That's what he's saying. That's what the Bible here says. Value what I have in store for you more than a bowl of stew. More than something that's going to, it may quench a thirst. It may curb an appetite for a moment, but you're going to regret it. For the rest of his life, Esau regret. It says back there in verse 34 of chapter 25, it says, from that point, he despised his birthright. He regretted to the day he died, having given up what was rightfully his. Don't give up what's rightfully yours for a bowl of stew or for a cup of water. What are the things that you so quickly sell out your birthright for? What are the things in your life right now, this morning or last night, this past week? What are you so quickly giving the inheritance that God has promised to you, the birthright that is yours to have? What are you giving up? What are you giving all of that up for? What's your bowl of stew? What's your cup of water? Is it your pride? Is it that worth it to hold on to? Is that cup of stew, your pride, does it curb your appetite so much, right, that it's worth sacrificing it all? Is it impurity? Is it honesty? Is it deceitfulness? Are there things hiding that you just don't want to come out? You don't want to bring to the light? Right? Whatever it is, the Bible's, it's not worth the inheritance that we have in store for us. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Y'all have heard me read this many times. It's one of my favorite passages when it talks about who we are in Christ and what we have to look forward to. Right? We were once something, but we are not that any longer if we are found in Jesus. And it's awesome. verse 11, chapter 2, therefore remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, you were called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from commonwealth of Israel, or the family or membership of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. If you don't have a birthright in Jesus, then you don't have hope, and you are living in a world without God. And he reminds them, that's who you used to be. That's who you and I used to be, or are right now, if you're not a disciple of Jesus. Without hope and without God in your life. And there isn't anything more terrifying than a life without God's presence with us. He goes on in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's what we're going to celebrate in a minute. Because of the blood of Christ, we used to be a long way off. We used to be these strangers and these aliens. We used to be separated, living without any hope. Right? The scripture that Chris and I have, in different seasons of our life, you know, the passage, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But that's that when we don't have hope, we get sick, we get weary, but at least there's hope. That's saying at least you've had hope, it's been deferred. This is saying you don't have hope at all. There is no hope. You are living in a completely dark world. You're not walking around by candlelight, bumping into things, but still able to navigate. It's complete darkness. But because of the blood of Jesus, he brings us out of that darkness and into this wonderful light. Been brought near by the blood of Christ, verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the laws of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. In verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who are near. For through him, through Jesus, and only Jesus, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, listen, guys, this is it. This is our birthright right here. You're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. In him, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. In Jesus, because of his blood, we all get to be the firstborn. We all are our firstborn children. The blessings and the inheritance is not reserved for one, but all who call on the name of the Lord. We all get to receive that inheritance. You've heard me talk of this. We're not just saved by the hair of our chinny chin. We don't just get to come inside the wall, inside the gate, but living homeless by the dumpsters. But at least we're saved. And you know what? If that's what happened, praise God. At least we're inside. At least we get to be a part of. But he takes us from the outside, from the darkness, where we are destined for an eternity in hell and suffering, and he brings us into his home. He makes us firstborn birthright recipients of the promises and the inheritance that we had. So what are you going to a bowl of stew for? Why do you want a cup of water so bad? Because none of that is going to quench what God has in store. You may have to wait a little bit longer. Like Esau, he needed to wait a little. He wasn't going to die in that moment if he didn't have food. You can live a long time without eating anything. A long time. He wasn't going to die right then and there. He gave into his flesh. He gave into his feelings. He was emotional. He came in, I need, I'm feeling, I want. And he gave into that. And he sacrificed it all. He didn't value what was rightfully his. Let's close out in 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again. Or in the translation that you might be reading, it talks about a new birth. That we have received a new birth. Born again, a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance. Into a birthright. Right? Into the blessings that can never... To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Guys, we have this inheritance that is awaiting us. We are, as disciples, baptized disciples of Jesus, we have this new birth. And as a result of this birth, of which we all become then firstborn rights, we get this birthright because of this. We now have this inheritance. And there is nothing that can take it away. It is imperishable. It is undefiled. It is unfading. It's kept in heaven for you. You just have to deny the bowl of stew. You just have to say no to your flesh. The Bible says that He, God Himself, provides everything you and I need to live our lives and to be godly men and women. That inheritance. Well, the Bible talks of what we will see and experience, what is kept in store for you and I in heaven as firstborn children. No mind has conceived, no eye has seen what is awaiting, what is in store for you and I. I beg and implore you, don't go to the bowl of stew. And if you have, If you are consuming stew today, if you are drinking those cups of water that do not continually refresh, then get open about it. It doesn't take long for our keeping things hidden to completely destroy our lives. It took one moment for Esau. One moment, he gave up everything that he had to look forward to. All the inheritance, the blessings, it all passed on to somebody else because he was given to the flesh. Let you and I not do that. Let us be quick to be open and honest. Guys, there's nothing worth it. We're going to pray in a second and we're going to take, communion. There isn't anything worth it, guys, giving up that birthright. We have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It is being kept in heaven for us. It's there. It's yours. You have it. If you're a disciple, you have it. Don't give it to somebody else. Don't give it up. Go give it to somebody else. Like, go give the blessing. Don't give yours away. Just go share it. Go make disciples so that they can have the blessing with you. But don't give it up. It's yours. And no bowl of stew is worth it. Amen. Let's pray for the communion. God, we thank you so much just for the opportunity and the time to be able to come before you right now. And God, thank you for your word and grateful just that we have, God, the stories and the examples from it that speak to our hearts. And God, I was so encouraged and so inspired today. And just this week in reading this, God, being reminded, because I have been Esau way too many times in my life, where in the moment of flesh, I've taken that bowl of stew because I have not valued, God, what you have in store for me. Help us, God, to not do that. Help us to make choices and decisions right now, today in our lives, that we will not be Esau. No matter what comes our way, we are not going to sell out, because we know that what we have in store for us as firstborn sons and daughters, there's no comparison. Help us to hold on to that. Help us to help each other hold on to that for those who have it, and help us to be motivated and inspired to go help make firstborn birthright sons and daughters all over the Fort Wayne area and wherever else we live and go and have our being. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. None of this, as we read, none of this is possible. None of this would have happened. We'd still be wandering in pitch black darkness with no hope and without God if it wasn't for you laying it all down. If you were the firstborn, you had that birthright. You were the firstborn, the Son of God, and yet you actually gave that up so that we could have it. Help us to not devalue that. Help us to not forget that. Help us now as we take the bread that is your body that was literally broken from your body, as we break bread, and in the juice which is your blood, as we pour in our mouths, was your blood pouring out of your body. Help us to not forget. Help us to never forget, so that we will never lose sight, so that when the time of temptation comes, when we feel the hunger pains of our stomach, of our flesh, that we will see you, and that we'll remember what we have and value that so much more and so much greater. There is nothing worth sacrificing what we have in you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for making this accessible to us. In Jesus' name, amen.